the left corner to Aginla. Aginla the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aginla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, let's get it going. Happy Wednesday. We are underway this hour on Flames Talk from our Groundworks downtown studio. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson. It is a Wednesday, April 23rd, and we're available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan as the text lines open at 960-960 if you're listening live. Wes, welcome. Happy Wednesday. We got a lot to get to this hour. What's going on?
Not too much, buddy. What's going on with you?
Not much. We got some more good topics to dive into on the program as the transition from the season to the off season is officially underway when it comes to Flames talk. And of all of the unrestricted free agents on Calgary's docket, and they're not, I wouldn't say there's a ton of them, but of the unrestricted free agents that Calgary has to make decisions on, I think, and I'd be curious your thought on this, but I think Dan Vladar is the most interesting one and is the one that maybe spurns on the most conversation as he just finished his fourth season as a member of the Calgary Flames. Would he be at the top of your list in terms of most interesting unrestricted free agent?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
There's not a ton of big ones, right?
Yeah, I'm most curious about Justin Kirkland, but he and Dan Vladar would be the two priorities for me.
You can make it now four seasons with the Flames for Vladar. In those four seasons, 47 wins, 32 losses, and then 15 in extra time for a .907 save percentage during that time. He went 6-1-1 down the stretch this year with a .927 save percentage in those eight starts. It's a huge part of Calgary staying in the playoff picture right until the very end. In fact, I didn't do the calculation, but the save percentage would actually be higher than .927 if you take out the... He played nine games, but started eight, had the one period in Toronto that's mixed in there. So you take that period out, the save percentage would probably be closer to .930 when it's all said and done. And now...
5-1-1 in his starts after the Four Nations break.
Yes. And that's...
Because you're including the Seattle game right before the break.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, the LA game was also... didn't count for playoff positioning, but was a good way for him to... I thought it was a quality start for Dan Vladar.
Absolutely.
Once again. Now an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his career. And the question becomes, is Dan Vladar back next year? Do the Flames want Dan Vladar back next year? Does Dan want to be back next year? And should the Flames bring Dan Vladar back? All kind of one question with some different ways that you can attack it. I know where I stand on it. I know where I am. If it's me... And my opinion changed as the season went along. Had you talked to me in October, November, December, I would have said, no, you know what? With the way Devin Cooley's going in the American League and with the struggles that Vladar's had backing up Dustin Wolf, or in the first half of the season being a tandem mate with Dustin Wolf, I would have said, you know what? It's probably a better idea. Shake hands. If you can't find anything at the trade deadline, shake hands, go in your separate directions. Now I'm of the opinion that it makes probably, from just a straight hockey perspective, and if the Flames were the only one making the decision, I think the best thing would be to bring Vladar back for another year or two and would be to return or keep the relationship going, keep that tandem with him and Dustin Wolf going. We'll get into it here. We'll get into the conversation, but first let's hear from Dan. This was him on Locker Cleanout Day over the weekend as he started to get into his future as a member of the Flames and how that evolved over the course of the season.
I got caught up to it a little bit at the beginning of the season, and then I had a long conversation with Barbs and my agent Dan Milstein, and I just told him I just want to stop pucks and I just want to play hockey and not basically bother me with that stuff. So it's up to him. I trust my agent. He's been really good with me and honest. I would love to be back. I said it since the get go, and I appreciate what the organization gave me 4 years ago. Coming here as basically nobody, like a guy with a couple games in NHL, and they the Flames gave me the opportunity to become a regular NHL player, and if it's my last day or not, I don't know. But it's always going to be a special place for me. And, my family love it here. I love it here. I love the guys. I love the organization. And, I appreciate everything what happened to me here. But, as I said, I don't know what's going to happen. Honestly, I would love to give you guys an honest answer. But I don't know. I trust my agent. And hopefully things are going to work out. And I'll be back in August.
Dan, it's such a big decision. What do you weigh, or what were the factors that come into determining your next stop?
Right now, I don't know. I'm going to go to World Championships for Team Czech, so I'm super proud of that. You know, I want to go play for my country, and I want my family to be able to visit, you know, my grandparents and stuff, because it's a long journey to come to Calgary. It'll be fun. But to answer your question, as I said, I would love to be back, but it's up to my agent. He's doing a really good job, and it's up to Connie and the management here.
Does that mean, though, that they're, like you keep saying, it's up to your agent? Does that mean there's conversations happening about?
We've been talking basically the whole year, and obviously, who my partner is here, Wolfie. I think he's gonna be a legend one day. We've been talking, and hopefully things are going to work out.
So that was Dan Vladar over the weekend on Locker Cleanout Day. This was, by the way, when Craig Conroy came and sat down with Logan and I in the Hot Stove Lounge on Saturday as well. I asked him about Dan Vladar and kind of what the team's desire would be on that front, and this was the general manager on Saturday.
We would love to have Dan back. You know, I think that's, you know, we've seen him for over the years. He always plays. He gives us a chance to win every night, and that's all you can ask for. I mean, there's going to be ups and down games, but especially when maybe he's not playing as many as he would like, where you're getting a rhythm, to come and do what he did, 6-1-1 down the stretch. I think he was in around .930 save percentage.
Yeah.
At the biggest time of the year. I mean, he came through, and he's a great person, and he's great in the room. And him and Wolfie, you could see those two kind of grow as we went down. You know, probably they were into competition at the beginning, and
that's
they
right.
really were. And you could tell they both were a little bit, off, you know, not off, but they both wanted to be the guy. And then I think it was even when they were both still splitting, they started to figure out, okay, hey, we're a tandem here. Let's go. And I thought they were really good together down the stretch. And Vladdy's a true pro, you know. So we'll see where it goes with Vladdy. But, we would like to have him back.
So that's pretty, you know, not a lot of gray area, not a lot of reading between the lines needed from the general manager there in terms of what the team would like. Now, it can't be, it still has to make sense for the team. It still has to make sense for where this group is going, and knowing that Dustin Wolf is going to be the guy going forward. But just here's just a little bit as to why I'm on the side of bringing him back. So 919 5-on-5 save percentage this past season, which was 20th overall in the NHL. Dustin Wolf's was better. I think he was 9th when it came to goalies of 500 or more minutes, but 20th for Dan Vladar. So he was in a decent spot when it comes to 5-on-5 save percentage. Thing is, how we were talking about, you know, 60 plus, 70 plus goalies that got into decent action this year. Was slightly above expected on most of those models. And I thought he just generally gave the Flames good minutes, especially when he became the number two. Maybe not the same level when it was equal workload for Wolf and Vladar in the first half of the season. But as Wolf settled into this team's number one, I thought Vladar did a nice job of getting them some really quality minutes when he was the number two or the 1B or however you want to phrase it. And that's the important thing, because he's going to be second on the depth chart going forward. And if he's back, it will be with the understanding that Dustin Wolf is this team's number one. And what did Vladar say? He's going to be a legend someday. Dan Vladar knows what the score is right now. But if he's willing to be second on the depth chart, I think Vladar can be a really good tandem mate, partner to Dustin Wolf in a tandem. I think the Flames would be willing to go somewhere in the same range as to what Vladar's on right now. Like, I think the Flames would be kind of, it would be something they'd be into or would be open to? Couple years, 2 year deal, 1 2 year deal between $2 and $3 million on the AAV. I think if the Flames could get that from the Vladar camp, if there could be an agreement made at those type of numbers, I think that we'll see Dan Vladar back. But I honestly think, Wes, in a lot of ways, it comes down to what the Flames, not what the Flames want to do, what Vladar wants to do, and what Dan and his agent, Dan Milstein, are most interested in going forward. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious as to what that side of the conversation looks like.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, buddy, how sort of Dan Vladar's finish to the season has changed this conversation. Like, I remember you and I sitting in these exact seats. We always sit in the same ones for some reason. You've just kind of claimed that one over there. And
20 years old. Get your seat. Get you some sort of seat claim.
I remember us sitting here going into the Four Nations break and talking about, okay, if Dan Vladar's last start before the pause isn't a good one, do they have to go find a different backup? Mm-hmm. Do they have to move on? And I think at that point that was a very fair conversation we had. And yet Dan Vladar not only had a good start in that last one before his vacation, but came back and strung together a bunch of good ones after the break. And so you get to the point that absolutely the Flames should be considering this. I'm going to go with two reasons. You outlined the stats, and so I won't regurgitate those. But for starters, if you look at the UFA goalie market, there's not a whole lot to mm-hmm. chase after, right? You know, I don't have a ton of interest if I'm the Flames in a Georgiev or a Samsonov or a reunion with Big Save Dave. Jake Allen's out there, but I'm not sure he'd make much more sense than Dan Vladar would. And so one of the reasons that I think a reunion or a re-signing makes the most sense for the Flames is just I don't love the other options. I'd include in that Devin Cooley. Like, it's been a pretty crater-like drop-off. He in his last 16 starts and didn't play last night in Game 1 of the Wranglers playoffs due to injury.
Little banged up right now.
So in his last 16 starts in the AHL, he only has been above a .900 save percentage in four of those. That's not a guy, despite his great start in the minors and the fact he was a shoe-in for the All-Star game in the AHL, that's not a guy you're trusting with an NHL job next year. He just hasn't earned that. And so, you know, number one reason for me with Vladar is that I don't think there's a better option available to you. And then, you know, you mentioned the comment he made on exit day about Dustin Wolf's going to be a legend one day. I actually see that as a lot more insightful than it maybe seems on the surface, because I think it's a sign that Dan Vladar has wrapped his head around his role. And I'm not sure, despite head coach Ryan Huska and everyone repeating all season long, he's been a great tandem mate and we couldn't ask for more out of him. I'm not sure that Dan Vladar was his usual happy-go-lucky self for a stretch of the season, because I don't think he was happy with the way he, and he didn't blame anyone, but I just don't think he was happy with the way that so many starts had slipped away from him. And I get it. Like, they're competitive guys. I think Dan Vladar has now wrapped his head around being a number two. I think Dan Vladar has now wrapped his head around the sort of workload he can have and the sort of relationship he can have with Dustin Wolf. He lost the head-to-head competition. Mm-hmm. And if he was still sour about it, and again, not sour with anyone in particular, but if he was still sour about it, he'd be looking elsewhere. I think the fact that Dan Vladar wants to stay, knowing what his role would be, really speaks volumes.
Now, again, I don't know if that is set in stone. I still think that there is... I think there's still some research and some exploration that's going to get done by the Vladar side.
I mean, he said they've been talking all year and there's not a deal.
Still not a deal, right?
So that, I mean, there's only so much.
Like, what about San Jose? Could San Jose, would Dan Vladar and his camp on a one-year or maybe two-year deal? I don't think Vladar's getting more than 2 years anywhere, whether it's Calgary or elsewhere. that's just kind of the market for the position he's in and the role that he'd be playing. Would he look at 2 years in San Jose with maybe an opportunity to take 40, 50, 60% of the starts? Who knows how that's going to go, and who knows?
Sort of a more experienced tutor to Askarov
there. Like, would that be a spot he'd be more interested in?
Yeah.
I know Kevin Woodley a couple of weeks ago brought up New Jersey with Jacob Markstrom's injury history. It is more and more difficult for Jacob now in his mid-30s to play a full season. Would Vladar look at going and joining a guy he knows well, has a great relationship with, and knows that has trouble playing a full starter's workload? Would that be a spot that Vladar would look at? You know, from a strict hockey perspective, like if you're looking for more playing time as Dan Vladar, and you see Dustin Wolf, who at no point has been a guy that has shown to be anything but durable. We're not talking about a guy throughout his career that has dealt with a lot of injuries. We're talking about a guy who keeps himself in phenomenal shape because of his, we all talk about his size, and even Dustin made some jokes over the weekend about that. We all talk about, yes, he is not the same size as many other goalies in this league, but that, I think, helps with some of the long... You talk to some goalie people, like, not as much wear and tear on the frame because you're asking a smaller frame to do things compared to guys who are way taller that puts more wear and tear on the body. So, like, you take a look at a guy like Dustin Wolf, he doesn't look like he's going to be playing anything less than 50, 55, 60 games going forward. Is there somewhere else, Philadelphia, New Jersey, San Jose, you could point to maybe two or three other spots, Carolina, that maybe you could get more playing time if you're Dan Vladar? How much does that enter into his thought process, and how much does that, how much priority or weight does he put in that compared to remaining in a place that he knows he likes the team, he knows he's well-liked in the locker room, he's comfortable here, and the team wants him back? The Flames would like Dan Vladar to be here next year.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing a team pinpointing Dan Vladar as their next starter. Like you mentioned some places where there could be more opportunity waiting, and I suppose there could, but Dan Vladar has had a couple opportunities to carry the mail.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting a number one gig or a top of the depth chart. Like the best I think that he'll be able to get is part of a tandem.
Yeah, I mean, he still finished this season with a sub-900 save percent. And I know, you know, that's an easy-to-find number for me to reference. That's not necessarily the numbers that teams are looking at as they seek a free agent goalie. But I don't know that Dan Vladar is going to find a ton of greener grass. And I think part of the appeal for him should be, you know, beyond the emergence of Dustin Wolf. And I know director of goaltending Jordan Siglett feels pretty good about some of the guys in the pipeline, but there's not another even remotely close to ready goalie in the Flames system.
Unless it's Cooley. Unless you count Cooley as that guy.
And so next year you're going to have to figure out what Cooley is. And he's going to have to basically prove that at the AHL level again. Unfortunately, that's what the back half of this season has meant to him.
If Vladar is back,
Dan Vladar, no matter where he signs, Devin Cooley has to be number three on the depth chart entering training camp next year.
I think maybe there's something to be said about a competition for number two.
Potentially.
But I don't know if you're going to be able to find somebody who is clearly going to be ahead of Cooley as an unrestricted free agent. I don't know if there's somebody that you would say, like, is Big Save Dave, like, is Dave Riddick clear? I'm just using that as an example.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Devin Cooley's been a below average goaltender in the American Hockey League for the past few months.
Now, I think there's
some stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Right? He's been banged up. You know, we remember a few years ago when Jacob Markstrom had a concussion mid-season. Devin Cooley had a head injury this season. That can be a tough thing to bounce back from. I just, you know, you talk about an organization that wants guys to bang on the door. And if you go look at Devin Cooley's start log in the last few months, and I understand, you know, too many opportunities given up and all that, but I just don't know how you can enter training camp with him as the front runner for a starting job. I don't think you can. I actually don't say that even so much about what it means when your backup's starting. I think it puts too much pressure on Dustin Wolf.
I do think the Flames are hoping that Cooley would have the type of season that would make it very obvious that, okay, he's the guy next year, because Cooley is on a one-way next year.
Right.
And they signed him because they see potential in him. There's no doubt about it. And boy, did he look good in the first half of the season before the injury, before the All-Star break, mm-hmm. all that type of stuff. I'm really curious what the Flames see Cooley as at this point.
I don't
think they see him clearly as the number two for next year. And I think that's why there is so much interest in bringing Vladar back on Calgary's side of things, because I think that they look at it and say, that's our best option. Like, that's our best option right now behind Dustin Wolf, with the familiarity, with what he did down the stretch. The other thing that I think is important that we haven't brought up is, and Dan talked a little bit about this on Locker Cleanout Day, I've talked to a couple of people off the books on this as well, I don't think it's a coincidence that the back half of the season Vladar was better, because I do think some adjustment to the new hip was going on as the first half was happening too. And he even talked about how much more comfortable he got mm-hmm. with that hip after the hip surgery last year, how much more comfortable he got in kind of the new mobility and what he needs to do and what he shouldn't do, what he should do with all of the newfound mobility. I do think that played some sort of a part. I don't know how large, but some sort of a part in a better second half compared to the first.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I really do think he's learned how to settle into a second string role a little bit. It's a tough thing for a guy to do, to sort of be sitting, you know, 10 or 14 days between starts at some points, kind of stewing on whatever the most recent result is. And, you know, the guys who have made long careers out of being NHL backups will tell you it takes some adjustment to figure out, you know, how to be that guy who plays 20 or 25 games a season. I think that's probably another reason to keep Dan Vladar, is that I really do believe he's got to the point that he's figured it out. I just, you know, back to Cooley for a second. I don't mean to, you know, throw the guy out with the trash after this season. That's not in at all. He was one of the best goalies in the American Hockey League to start the season. I think the back half of this season, while it could be blamed on injury, or perhaps it could be blamed on more work than he's ever had as a pro, like there's different things, and people in the Flames goaltending department will tell you that Cooley probably wasn't playing quite as well at the start of the season as the numbers suggested, and he's not, certainly not played as bad in the back half as the numbers have suggested. But, you know, like,
I didn't do enough, right?
No, like, if I just start working backwards in his AHL starts, if you just go by save percentage, 667, 897, 958, 906, 778, 886, 846, like, there's not enough nines in there. And if you're not over 900 at the AHL level on a pretty damn close to every night basis, then it's going to be tough to make that jump. And so I think there is a ton of potential there with Devin Cooley, but the Flames need to take a real look at why it went sideways in the back half of the season. And I just think, while we could have a conversation in December about him being your big league backup next season, I really don't think it's applicable anymore. I think if Dan Vladar signs elsewhere, then you do have to find out what a Jake Allen or an Ilya Samsonov or somebody is doing next season, because you need somebody with some experience and somebody who's proven it.
Which I think is going to be, because Jake Allen's going to be kind of the bell of the ball this year, is kind of what the thought is. He's going to be the number one target.
Yeah,
in terms of UFA goalies.
There's both not a lot of jobs and not a lot of
options,
yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Any texts there?
Lots of texts. Curious to see the way this plays out over the next couple of weeks. Just to wrap up before we hit the text line at 960. if it has to be 2 years, $3 million, do you do it for Vladar?
Yeah, I can live with that.
Yeah,
I what is it, 2.2 right now?
I think it's 2.25 is what he's at right now.
Yeah, and so the raise is based more on cap going up than on performance.
Yeah, a little bit of a thanks for your service type thing.
Yeah.
2.2. He's at 2.2, so yeah. $800,000 extra on the cap for a backup that you can trust. I'd be and I'm not saying that's where it'll be. I think anywhere between 2 and 3 you'd be happy with.
I was gonna say I'd like 2.5 a lot more than I'd like 3, but if that's the difference between risking getting into that free agent market with the sort of limited options that we discussed, then I, knowing that the Flames aren't in cap trouble at any time soon, I'm okay with that for a couple of years.
By the way, the free agent goaltenders this year are not what you would call. I mean, we mentioned Jake Allen. You mentioned Dave Riddick David Riddick would like to never play the Calgary Flames again. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, Ville Husso. Thanks.
You got Ville Husso, Jake Allen, Alexander Georgiev, Vitek Vanacek, Freddie Anderson, Anton Forsberg, Dan Vladar, Ilya Samsonov, David Riddick, James Reimer, Alex Lyon, Chris Drieger, and Jonas Johansson. Those are the unrestricted free agent goalies that exist this year if you're looking for one.
And Jordan Sigalette is a terrific, terrific goaltending scout. You know, if he sees something in Kaapo Kähkönen, for example, that he thinks this guy has big-time potential, we should tap into that. I'd be good with the Flames going that direction. I certainly trust his eye for talent that mm-hmm. much, and I think there's plenty of evidence to back up how good he's been at identifying talent. The fact that they've been back and forth with Vladar all year, the limited options, the comfort level that was built over the season with Dustin Wolf, it sort of seems like we're getting into you'd almost be crazy not to range. And that's from the Flames standpoint. If Dan Vladar thinks there's more opportunity out there, if he thinks he can start 41 rather than 25, and that's a priority for him, then I get that too. Yep. Or, if there's an extra $1 million a year out there for him somewhere because someone else's director of goaltending thinks there's big time untapped potential in Dan Vladar, then I could see you getting to a point where it doesn't work out. It sure felt on Saturday to me like this thing might be down to the short strokes.
Okay, Jared in traffic at 960-960. Any European guys that could be brought over for goaltender? I don't think there's anybody that you'd point to in the European ranks and say he would be the backup for next year.
I think the Flames are actually pretty well full up when it comes to goalie contracts anyways. Like, having signed Owen Say and Arseny Sergeyev, having Devin Cooley, there's sort of that second, obviously Dustin Wolf, there's sort of that second spot on the mm-hmm. depth chart that's either Vladar or somebody else. Now, I know Jared's asking, could the somebody else be a signing out of Europe? But I don't see it.
And it's funny, the guy who is leaving the organization at the end of the year made, 45, 46 saves on Tuesday night. 46 mm-hmm. saves on 50 shots for Ignatiev. He got the start in a 4-3 triple overtime loss for the Wranglers in Coachella Valley on Tuesday night. Sam says, if Vladar leaves, how about Freddie Anderson on a 2-year, $3 million AAV? If he, of course, leaves the Hurricanes, proven goalie and can work as a mentor and be part of a tandem. I just don't know if that's going to get it done for Freddie. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like if he doesn't stay in Carolina, I feel like he's going to get a pretty big payday out there. Somebody's going to look to him, even with the injury history.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to look to him to be more than a number two.
It's the injury history that would scare me off there.
And also, there's that.
35 years old? Do I have that right? Pretty that darn
sounds,
close.
That sounds right to
yeah.
me. He is Frederick Anderson, 35 years old.
Yep. Yeah, there's some buyer beware there for me.
This from Mike, do you think there's a chance the Devils get Vladar to be Markstrom's backup next season? I do.
Jacob would love that. Those two are
thick as thieves.
Thick as thieves.
Really
absolutely.
Yep. Somebody suggests Anton Forsberg. Again, that would be an option. This is, so how many starts do you think Wolf gets? Are the Flames looking for a 1B, 25 to 30 games, or a true 2, 15 to 20 games? I'm not crazy about any true backups on the market either. I would say somewhere between
Was that number 15 to 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say probably closer to 20 to 25 would kind of be split the middle on that one. Like, I think if Dustin Wolf stays healthy and plays well, I think you're looking at him to do 55. So that's 27 starts for Dan Vladar. Not insignificant, but maybe he's looking for more. I don't know.
Yeah, it depends. Next year's an Olympic year.
Yep.
That schedule is going to be compressed like crazy.
Jammed up just like this past year
there,
was.
There were five goalies across the NHL who had 60 starts this year. I don't even think you'll see that many next year. Like, an Olympics compresses it even further than a Four Nations would. And so I think there's realistically 25 starts here for Dan Vladar.
I think so. 25, 27, somewhere in that range. This reads, I agree with you guys, and I really hope Dan stays in Calgary, but I do think he'd be a 1A in Philadelphia. That comes from Bob.
That is a goaltending
graveyard.
I mean, just a disaster.
Yeah. Late to the convo, but what's happening with Arseny Sergeyev and Owen Sain next year at the goalie position? Does that play a part? Not at the NHL level.
Yeah.
At the AHL and ECHL level, yes, but not at the AHL level.
That's basically the way I see it. An open competition at training camp for the number 4 versus 5 job. Like, whether that means AHL or ECHL. And sometimes your number 4 is actually ECHL because you want them to get more starts, but the jump from college to NHL as a goaltender especially is a really substantial one. Those guys are going to need some time.
Brett says, is Devin Cooley on a one-way next year? He is indeed.
One-way at close to the minimum?
Yeah.
And we should point out, because it will be a factor, waiver eligible, right?
He was waiver eligible this past year, too.
And so I know there was some consternation or some worry about whether Devin Cooley would clear waivers this year, next year as well. Like, if he has a great training camp, there's always a little bit of concern about losing your third goalie if that is where he slots on the waiver wire.
Yeah, or could solve a problem depending on the way things go
going into
next season. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk, and can't find the latest episodes of your favorite HGTV, Discovery, and Food Network shows? Rogers Xfinity TV has the newest seasons of the top-rated shows on these popular channels, while other providers are no longer including them in their TV lineup. If your TV provider doesn't carry these channels, you're missing out on new seasons of Celebrity IOU, Hometown, Beat Bobby Flay, Expedition X, and more. Don't be fooled by other channels pretending to be these networks you know and love. Get the latest with Rogers Xfinity TV at Rogers.com.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And now time for a Wednesday edition of our Daily Flames Roundtable. It's brought to you, as always, by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why minutes from the Calgary airport. It's Pat Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media, and now Derek Wills joins us to complete our Wednesday Daily Flames Roundtable. Gents, I'll ask this one. Just to see if the consensus is there, because it's that time on our year-end week of the roundtable to get into the MVP conversation. So just quickly around the table, guys, if you were to pick one MVP or do your ranking, would Dustin Wolf be number one on your list?
Yes.
Affirmative.
Okay. I also have you. I thought so. I just wanted to make sure. So
all right, to commercial.
That's a good one. Have a good day, Wilsey. Knowing that I think we all were going to put Dustin Wolf at the top of our list, I thought, okay, well, let's say unanimously, we all believe Dustin Wolf was this team's MVP. Somewhere, like, you could make arguments that he was good for, like, 2, 4, 6, however many wins that he was almost single-handedly good for over the course of a season. He was their most important player this year. So that leaves the rest of the skaters, guys. So with Dustin Wolf as the MVP, who's the most valuable skater? What forward or defenseman would you put at the very top of your list in terms of most valuable player this year?
I do think it's important to put an asterisk on this for me, because it wasn't a slam dunk that Dustin Wolf was the Flames' most valuable player this season. And for one reason and one reason only, He played in 53 of 82 games, and the guy who I'm going to pick played in all 82. So it was something I thought a lot about, simply because Dustin Wolf, he was such a surprise. We talked about him yesterday being the most surprising player on the team because of the huge impact he had on the Flames as a 23-year-old rookie. But this other guy, he did a lot to help the Flames win hockey games. So for me, number two, and it's a close second, it has to be Nazem Kadri. He just keeps getting better with age, it seems. I mean, he had a career year as a member of the Avalanche and helped them win a Stanley Cup just a few years ago. But he's been such an impactful player for the Flames. And when I look at what he did for the Flames this season, really impressive, because it felt like on most nights, or at least a lot of nights, he was really driving the team offensively and dragging the Flames into battles when maybe they didn't have their best stuff that night. Led the team in goals with a career high 35, led the team in points with 67. As I said, on a lot of nights, the emotional leader of the team. And it's not just that he scored 35 goals, guys. It's how many big goals he scored. Almost half of his goals were scored in the third period. He finished tied for the NHL lead in game tying goals with 11, and just always seemed to make a play or to score a goal when the Flames really needed someone to step up and do that. So yes, Dustin Wolf would be number one on my MVP ballot, but I got to tell you, had to think long and hard about it, because Nazem Kadri was right there, and he'd be number two for me.
Yeah, I think Dustin Wolf was a layup or a slam dunk as number one. I really do, but I don't know how you could make much of a case for anyone besides Nazem Kadri as the next in line, or the most valuable skater, as Pat likes to put it. And, you know, the big reason that I say that, guys, is not just the stats that Willsy outlined, the 35 goals and the team high 67 points and sort of how clutch so many of those contributions were, but it's also because he was quite clearly their best forward from pretty much start to pretty much finish. And, you know, the other probably position that you'd consider is, well, okay, who was their best defenseman? And for me, that really switched probably around December. Like, Rasmus Anderson was the Flames' best defenseman early in the season, and he wasn't at the end, not just because of the broken fibula, but, you know, Mackenzie Weegar had clearly taken over the mantle as Calgary's best defenseman. Mackenzie Weegar, while we haven't talked a lot about it, had his own injury issues in, you know, the early part of the season. He was playing through what very well could have been a broken foot or something that was making it pretty difficult to skate on in November and into December. And so, you know, that probably prevented his ascent to top defenseman status. But when I look at it, while I think Dustin Wolf was the MVP of the team overall, Nazem Kadri was the skater that pretty well every night you knew was going to be the best at his position. And that's why that's a pretty easy pick for me.
I do agree. I'll make it unanimous on the Kadri front, and I'll just throw an argument for somebody else. But I will say that I agree on Kadri, guys. I mean, number one center, led the team in goals, led the team in points, was the tone setter on an almost every night basis. You know, the drawn penalties, the way that he drags the team in, the way that you know that in a big game he's going to be emotionally engaged. I mean, I just take a look at so many different times this year when you just watched Nazem Kadri's body language and it got you fired up, right? Like, whether it be a big goal in the first period from him, or a big goal in the third period to tie it, or he's slamming his stick on the boards because a missed call, or like whatever the case may be, like, so far, more often than not, I felt like Nazem Kadri and the emotional level that he plays with, the engagement level that he plays with, I felt like it really set the tone for the entire team. And that's not to say that there weren't other guys who did that too. I just felt consistently Nazem Kadri was such a heartbeat guy for the Flames, plus scored a career high 35 goals, plus led the team in points, plus, Willsie, to your point, that the actual importance of such a vast majority of those 35 goals. And the dude was an absolute G this year. Like I thought he was awesome, and I would give him an A plus for the season that he had. Now, in saying all that, I think there's no doubt that Mackenzie Weegar was the best defenseman on the team this year. And that's with no disrespect to Rasmus or Kevin Ball. I just think with all of what went into McKenzie's season this year, and he would have been number two on my ballot behind Kadri, all of what went into what we saw from Weegar this year was that, like, he was playing on the left side, and then he was playing on the right side, and he was back on the left side. And yes, we all talked, and we were very, very glowing on Tuesday's show, Derek, about Joel Hanley's season, but let's not underscore how important Weegar was to what happened for Joel Hanley. I don't think Joel Hanley has the coming out party that he has if he's not playing on the left side of Mackenzie Weegar, and Weegar's not elevating his game to a pretty significant degree. I thought Weegar was, without question, this team's best defenseman this year. The only guy that I felt you could rely on every single night to bring the same type of effort. And so it would have been Weegar as my number two guy. But yeah, it's got to be Kadri for me. It's boring to all be unanimous, but man, he just had such a good season. And it really excites you for, I know that he will be 35 next year. And I know that we're talking about a guy that is closer to the end than the beginning and all that type of stuff. But I continue to be excited about what comes next for Kadri when it comes to how he helps this team get from point A to point B.
Yeah, me too. And if it was an MVP ballot, Wolf would be one, Kadri would be two, and Weegar would definitely be three for me. And that's with, you know, giving Jonathan Huberdeau some pretty strong consideration, because I thought he was a super important player for the Flames this season. As far as their best defenseman is concerned, or their second best skater is concerned, for me, it is definitely Mackenzie Weegar. And I would say he was their best blue liner for like 7/8 of the season. Rasmus Anderson got off to a really strong start, and after the first 10 to 15 games, I thought Mackenzie Weegar was miles ahead of everybody else on the blue line. I look at the numbers, the counting stats, and he was top 20 in the NHL in points by defenseman, actually finished tied for third on the Flames in points period, behind only Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau. And then you look at the block shots, top 10 in the league. You look at the hits by defenseman, top 5 in the league. You look at some of the defensive metrics, and now, he was one of the best defensive defensemen in the NHL this season, and then he got the offense from him as well. And the other thing that I think it's important to point out about both Kadri and Weegar, they were really important members of the Flames leadership group. And guys, I thought both of those players did an outstanding job talking to us, and through us, talking to Flames fans after big wins, but maybe more importantly, after tough losses. Both of those guys did a great job dealing with the media and pulling the curtain back for Flames fans. So, yeah, again, if I were to rank the MVP candidates in order, Wolf 1, Kadri 2, Weegar 3, but the Flames definitely don't get to where they went, which ultimately wasn't where they wanted to go, which was the Stanley Cup playoffs, but they don't get to game 81 still in the fight for a playoff spot without the outstanding seasons of all three of those guys.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And maybe I misrepresented what I was trying to say. Like, it was quite clear by a certain point of the season that Mackenzie Weegar was the Flames' best defenseman and would be the Flames' best defenseman in 24-25, but I'm not sure that it became clear, at least through my eyes, quite as quickly as you guys saw it that way.
All right, we've got two more days to be wrapping up the season and looking ahead to next season on the Daily Flames Roundtable. We'll have another big picture topic to dive into on Thursday's program. For now, Willsie, have a good rest of your Wednesday. Thank you so much, as always.
Well, guys, I think we set a new record today for shortest Flames roundtable. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, Willsy. I think you're probably right on that front. He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up on our daily Flames roundtable. That'll start to wrap us up this hour on the program. Thanks to Shan Virgie, Azam Ali Nanji, as our outstanding producers this hour. And the daily Flames roundtable brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The fastest growing segment of vehicles they sell is electric. Informed buyers are coming to see. Perhaps you should discover why. Minutes from the Calgary Airport.